I am the founder of the Canay Quinto Mundo, which is actually the home of the people. The Consejo General de Taino Borincano is an umbrella which gathers individuals, families, organizations, and groups in one circle. It's our way of governing ourselves as a community here in Puerto Rico. The United Confederation of Taino People is our international organization that we are also part of, and they are part of us, who has been able to also connect us to all our relatives throughout the Caribbean up through Venezuela. With their work, we have done work at the international level, at the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, and I have also participated in the quest for consensus on the Declaration of Indigenous Peoples' Rights at the Organization of American States. And so we have been, doing work both nationally and internationally to gain support and also respect for our rights as Indigenous people of the Caribbean. Yes.
I'm curious as to what you've been engaged with in the past, and what inspired these organizations to come together.
Okay. The Canay Quinto Mundo was officially founded in 1993 as the home or the gathering place of the Taino people. We founded the Canay because it came from a vision that we had, and that was part of implementing it, was to have a land base and to have a space where we as Taino people could gather and meet and do ceremony and congregate as a people. El Consejo General de Taino Borincano has been in existence, I would say officially, probably since 1992, unofficially, probably maybe 10 years prior to that. All of these groups, the Canay, as well as El Consejo, as well as UCTP, were created under the guidance of our elders, and the directive to do this has come from them. It has come from them and has been, they have been the ones who have been directing and our work. So it's different phases of the Taino people revitalizing, no, their culture, their customs, and their way of living, no.
And just to go, I guess, back in time a little bit, was there a strong component of Taino sovereignty as part of the Puerto Rican liberation movement that was active in the late 60s and 70s? Was that
our struggle as Indigenous people has really never ceased. Many, for example, Don Pedro Albizu Campos, who is considered kind of like the father, no,
mm-hmm.
began or continued the struggle of our ancestors when the United States invaded Puerto Rico. And there has always been a strong component of sovereignty as Indigenous people, because sovereignty is our right, is our inherent right. And so that has never terminated. The faces perhaps have changed, or the way in which those claims have arisen. And also this resurgence of the Taino people really responds to a prophecy that during this time there would be a resurgence of the Taino people. The veil of Guimasoa, or the Guimasoa is the invisibility, would fall from the eyes of the people and they would rise once again. So all of these things that you're seeing, and the continuity of the struggle for sovereignty of our nation here, is but a continuation of the struggle that our ancestors waged during the Spanish colonial regime.
Just to express like my personal whatever bias is that I learned in history class that the Taino people were all massacred by Columbus, and that all Taino people were dead and deceased. So I know that this is a common myth that I've seen in histories all over and websites and history books and things like that. I mean, it must be frustrating to have such a widespread myth about the extinction of your people.
Oh yeah, no, of course, and I heard those same myths when I went to school, and really, you know, you have to think about it in the way of wartime, huh? That any community that goes through war or conflict also experiences a sense of trauma, you know, and they've done studies on these, and they call this, for communities that have been involved in long-term contact and these kind of conflict situations, they call that multi-generational trauma, you know, and so you can imagine the multi-generational trauma that the Taino community has been forced to deal with all these years, and if you look at it another way, not to deal with, because no one ever offered us a psychologist or a way to seek a resolution for this kind of trauma. And the kind of trauma I'm talking about is a long playing, specific campaign to wipe us out, either from physically or mentally. You could imagine, with my grandmother, she didn't really go to much schooling, but, she knew a lot about, her own local traditions, local healing methods, etc. But, if she told us or told her, my mother, you guys are Taínos and you should always be proud of that. When the kids go to school, right away they're told by the teachers, you guys are not Taínos, or you're not real Taínos, and et cetera, et cetera. So you're pitting a matriarchal figure in your family. I don't know about other families, but in our family, like the grandmothers and the elders were always respected, and so you usually took their word as something that was good and something that was important. But if you end up going to school and your teachers are telling you that, no, these people don't exist, then you're going to be like, well, wait a minute, why did my grandmother tell me that? And obviously, she's not as smart as this lady who is in school or this gentleman who is in school, so there's a problem here. And see, that puts the doubts inside the community and helps to, foster more discontent and more confusion. So it's no wonder that, for a while that this has been going on. But the difference now is that many of our people have gone to school, and even to the university level and beyond. And we've really tried to do a lot more education into the communities. And